Hi, I'm David Green, and you're listening to the Digital HR Leaders podcast. Here at Insight 222, we're deeply committed to understanding the evolving landscape of people analytics. Each year, through our People Analytics Trends research, we undertake a comprehensive study to track how the field is growing and the tangible value it's bringing to organizations worldwide. Each year, it becomes increasingly clear that the impact of people analytics on driving key business outcomes is not just growing, it's becoming transformative. One of the key findings in our 2023 study was that people analytics is not only growing in size, but is also increasingly supporting and influencing senior leadership and the board. This is certainly the case at Chetwood Financial, a scale-up financial services company based in Wrexham. Having started its people analytics journey just last year, Chetwood is already seeing significant improvements in influencing senior leadership decisions through data-driven insights. It has also been able to identify key areas for improvement in making data-informed decisions to drive growth and improve employee engagement. In today's episode, Louise Miller, People Director, and Olivia Edwards, Colleague Engagement Lead, join me to share how they are driving the success of People Analytics at Chetwood. Together, we will explore the initiation and progression of their journey, dive into how it has transformed people strategy at Chetwood. We'll also discuss how the use of people analytics has enhanced the influence of HR in the boardroom and transformed the organizational perspective on HR's role and value at Chetwood. With that, I hope you enjoy this episode of the Digital HR Leaders Podcast. Olivia and Louise, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on to speak to our listeners. To kick things off, could you give a brief introduction to Chetwood and your roles and responsibilities at the company? So, Louise, I'll start with you on that one.
Yeah, great. So, Chetwood started in 2016. It got its banking license, its full banking license in 2018, and has been scaling up and pivoting on certain products since then, really. So now we're about 300 people. We have two offices. The head office is based in Wrexham, which has obviously got a bit more popularity of late. And we've got a London office as well. So we've got people all around the country. We've got them in the tech space, financial services, obviously. So we've got a plethora of qualifications and experience that we've got within our business at the moment. But things have been going well. We've been growing as we've gone through the past. So since 2016, there's seen a significant increase from starting with our co-founder, Andy, who's still our CEO, to now about 300 people.
Fantastic. Follow up for you a minute, Louise, about what it's like to be a CHRO in a scale-up company. But I'll let Olivia introduce herself first.
Thanks. So yeah, my name's Olivia. I'm the colleague engagement lead at Chetwood. I look after everything employee engagement, which includes DE&I initiatives as well as wellbeing. I've been here for 2 years now, so I've seen a big chunk of the change. And hey, it's a great environment. It's never ending. It's never changing. So it's great.
Firstly, we have quite a lot of American listeners, so it might be interesting to talk a little bit about Wrexham, obviously, just to start as well. But also maybe as part of that, maybe if you can share maybe some of the challenges or what you love about being the CHO or Chief People Officer in a scale-up company.
I would say it's the variety is definitely there. It's really exciting because every day is completely different. And because you are exposing, the business to new things all the time. So I would certainly say for the likes of my team who are relatively young as far as experience is concerned, that the exposure that they get to there are, you know, Livell talking a bit about changing values, putting new values in place. I suppose the ramp up of your experience that you can get in a scale up and a startup is so significant. It also means that you can go from the strategic to actually getting your hands dirty with, you know, are the facilities still working, even though facilities doesn't fall under you sometimes? You know, it's sort of, I think, the scale of what you have to deal with is so significant of growing a business, so you have to make sure you've got all of the people aspects, the legal aspects in place, the engagement to fundamentally drive the business forward and build the team as the business is growing. But then you have to make sure all the day-to-day activities are still taking place. So I would say the exposure to certain things that you get, sometimes you go, oh, I still need to ask a question about that, or I'm still learning. So I think even though my team are getting it, I'm still getting it as well on a day-to-day basis, which I absolutely love. I think it's great. And Chetwood has got a brilliant culture. It's got a learning and developing culture. You know, we learn by our mistakes. It's got a great experience and it's got a great fun environment to it as well. That's what you tend to find in startup scale-ups. The sense of humour is key.
That's I'd agree with that because we're in a startup small company.
Yeah. But I highly recommend anybody in their HR career to actually give it a go because, you know, I've worked in larger companies as well and they're great, but it never tests you as much as when you're doing a startup scale up and in a smaller business. It definitely tests you a lot more than it would do.
And of course, Wrexham's on the map. It's always on the map as far as I'm concerned in North Wales, but it's obviously become to prominence recently. I'd be interested, have you seen more interest in the town since Ryan Reynolds and bought the football club?
Yeah, I mean, Liv lives in Wrexham, so I think it's probably a good one for you to pick up.
Yeah, I live about 5 minutes from our office, and our office is probably about a 2-minute walk from the racecourse, which is Wrexham's football ground. Obviously, the Ryan Reynolds takeover has really shook the town up, and it's nice to put us on the map, especially as it just so happens Chetwood's based there. It's crazy, like, even just going out with your friends and going on nights out and there being tourists there and people asking about the town and things. It's crazy. But yeah, it's fun. It's nice.
And I would say from a talent acquisition point of view, Wrexham is more of an attraction point now than it probably was previously. So it's helpful, you know, if we're recruiting around the country, we don't have to tell them where Wrexham is as much anymore. So people knew where it was, but even everybody knows where it is now, which is, to be fair, from a HR point of view, with talent acquisition, it's a great help. So thanks, Ryan.
Olivia, turning to you, you know, at Chetwood, I understand you've recently embarked on your people analytics-driven insights journey. Can you share with listeners a little bit more about the journey so far and maybe how it was and why it was initiated?
Yeah. So our people analytics journey really started about 12 months ago, basically when Louise joined the business. So for people analytics-wise, our main source until recent was through our HR information system. So from this system, we pulled all the basic functional people analytics, such as demographics, age, turnover. We also used an engagement survey provider alongside this, which was ran on an annual basis. The survey that we used itself was a really rigid system. We waited a super long time to see results. And ultimately, by the time we got the results, all our employees were disengaged. And the results, they were pointless. We'd had turnover, people had moved departments, things like that. And we knew we basically had to start again even before we'd made a change. So over the past few months, we've partnered with CultTramp. And since then, our whole outlook on people analytics has completely changed. CultTramp itself, obviously the system, it provides immediate results, which is something that we really needed in Chetwood to drive change. We had a big gap in knowledge of employees not really trusting and engaging with us in the sense that we were going to make an impact based off our survey. So the partnership with CultTramp really changed our outlook to go to a data-driven culture.
What have you learned personally about kind of building people analytics, I guess, within a company?
So it's been crazy. Like I said, I've been here 2 years and this is my first role in HR. And moving to CultTramp, where people analytics is so prominent, it's really given me the insight, and I think it's given Chetwood the insight of how important that data is to make valuable changes. Moving away from HR, obviously being a gut feeling, intuition, oh, people want development, people need a new performance management system. Having people analytics has really given us that driver to make valuable change, which, especially for Chetwood and the rate it's growing, has been so valuable.
Brilliant. And Louise, obviously, it sounds like you were the catalyst for this change when you came in a year ago. And obviously, I understand you're still in the early stages of your journey. And interesting that, and understandable actually in a scale up, that engagement is so, so key. And that's something where you can make a real difference in HR. It'll be great to learn how this more data-driven approach has impacted your HR strategy so far.
So when I started, we, as Liv says, we got the basic data together. So the beta, absence, attrition, you know, what did our demographics look like? When people were leaving, how long were they leaving for, basically? And fundamentally, so the first 12 to 18 months of our HR strategy has all been based on our foundational aspects. So I'm a big believer in if you do the basics well and you do the simple things great, that's what people are looking for. Do you recruit them well? Do you give them the information? Do they know where they're going? Have they got clarity? The basics really make a difference. And I think the data that we drew, which with LaSalle we drew at the beginning, showed us that we needed to spend the next 12 to 18 months just focusing on things like role profiles, things like a big one that we did was new starters. And it sounds really simple and a bit trite to say, have you got a corporate induction? Well, we didn't. We've put one in. And I think for me, the essence of that is looking at people's talent to competency. So the quicker you onboard people, and I don't just mean recruitment. I mean, when you onboard them in the business, they've started on day one. How long does it take them to feel comfortable? Do they know what they're supposed to be doing? So the induction part of that, and then Culture App came in and we could do a probationary period sort of engagement survey about how well it went. So we could measure how well that was working. What I'm hopeful for as well as we build this data up over the next foundation, certainly on the new starter piece, is that our average length of service when I started was, say, 2 years. When we, if we build a time to competency point and new starters are going, have we got them up to speed? Have we got the clarity with everything else? Are they staying with us longer because we're delivering what we need for them? And I think the data that we got to begin with drove some people would say a very basic HR strategy, which was do the simple, small and simple things well. Moving forward, I think with the partnership we've got with CultureAmp, when we get a more rounded view, when we've got developing, performing, we'll have a more connected link. And I know we've got a question about talent management and employee development coming up as well. And that's where I think we can add more value. So that's probably the next stage in the strategy. Basics doing well, you know, time to hire, cost per hire, et cetera, initially now, and then let's move on to the next one. So the data drove our foundational strategy to begin with. So again, not particularly exciting, but definitely needed and definitely significantly made a difference to the business to start with. So
CultureAmp revolutionizes how over 25 million employees across 6,500 companies create a better world of work. As the global platform leader for employee experience, CultureAmp empowers companies of all sizes and industries to transform employee engagement, develop high-performing teams, and retain talent via cutting-edge research using powerful technology and the largest employee data set in the world. The most innovative companies across the globe depend on CultureAmp every day. CultureAmp is backed by over 12 years of innovation, leading venture capital funds, and offices in the US, UK, and Australia. CultureAmp was recognized as one of the world's top private cloud companies by Forbes and one of the most innovative workplace companies by Fast Company. Learn more about how CultureAmp can help you create a better world of work at cultureamp.com. That's cultureamp.com. You previewed it, so I'd love to hear a little bit more on how you're using people data or thinking of using people data to enhance talent management and employee development initiatives.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we did, so when we did the engagement survey with CultureAmp, and as Liv said before, because we got real-time data, we got information really quickly, what came out from that survey, from the main survey or state pool, was the fact that people wanted more development. I find that a great question to ask, but also it's like a big bucket that, what does that mean? Who means it? And it means something very different to every person you talk to. Development, it can mean, I want to do better in my current job. Some people might, you know, they might be a financial service analyst, but they also then want to learn knitting. It could be something completely different. Some people want to then get promoted. How to answer it from a HR team perspective is very difficult because you can't necessarily answer it correctly to everybody. So the next step for me, which was, I think, is really key, is making sure that colleagues own their own development journey and they take responsibility for it rather than a manager giving them what they think it needs to do in order to develop them. And also managers second guessing, everybody wants to be promoted, everybody wants a career development. So what Liv and I worked on was putting the CultureAmp module in called Develop, which does exactly what we wanted it to, which was, everybody has their own CultureAmp account. Every colleague then can put in a development request and say, but what they want. It's very specific. It helps them narrow down about what it's for. Is it to be better? Is it to be promoted? Is it to do something different? Is it, what is it? And then it enforces the manager then, or the line manager, to have a conversation with them, to have that, to speak to them about it. What that system does is give us the data to actually say this many people want development opportunities to promote, this many people want development opportunities to be better in the current job. So what that then does is we can take it out and say any of the specialist technical things that people need to learn, say in finance, we then let the business partner speak to the finance team and say, okay, so then this is what they're looking for, because that's technical, very specific. But from our team perspective, we can, from a HR, we go, okay, then what do people generically want? Is the leadership skills that they want? Is it, well-being support? Is it more how they get people on board, how they motivate people? And then that develops us into either a lunch and learn annual calendar that we can give to everybody, a more specific, development course. We brought in one called Big Chats, Little Chats, and it was a partnership with a company called Laughology, who were amazing and very great for our culture. They came and did a development course with our line managers to say, not about the what you have to do, more about the how you have to do it. So that allowed us, basically, that data said that this is what you need to do. This is how we want to do it. And therefore, the cost associated that was an easy win about how you get that approved, basically, because this is what we need. This is what they're asking for. You put it together. It allows us to budget for the next year as well. So when we've got all these development opportunities, you can go, this is what people are looking for. What's the best way to achieve that? And then we can budget for it accordingly. From a talent management point of view, we're probably not quite there yet. The plan is when we launch Perform with CultureAmp, and we have the whole three. We have Engage, Perform, and Develop. The information that we get from that will be linked into our quarterly talent management process that we are commencing in conjunction with that. So we're not there yet. That will hopefully allow us to, the data that I believe will come out of that is, if we give them this development, we look at the performance management element of it, then how many are promoted? How many do we give different opportunities to? How many have we got a succession plan for? And long term, it can even see, financial services and tech, you have a lot of males in senior positions. If you do this right, you can help with the gender pay reports, et cetera, the gender pay gap, in order to make it more, more balanced, should we say.
In two episodes ago with Didier Elzinger, the CEO of CultureAmp, he actually shared some of the research that they've been doing recently across all the companies that they work with, the data set they've got. And they found that investing in engagement and company culture has a 300% ROI, which, let's be honest, we all want some of that. So again, on that, Olivia, how are these insights helping shape the company culture?
Yeah, so when I looked at this, I really stripped it back. And from where we were as a business before we started our journey on people analytics, I think the main change that we should be really focusing on is the level of trust that we've actually gained from employees, from moving from a culture where we kind of just did what we thought was right to a data-driven culture. There's two prongs really to this point. Half of it is now about employees trust that we're doing the right thing. And employees now also trust that we are going to deliver, which I think has been extremely beneficial for us to get buy-in from the business. As of today, we have run two engagement surveys. We've run our flagship engagement survey in April and then a pulse one in October. And we can say that out of both of these engagement surveys, we have made so many positive changes to the culture at Chetwood, and employees are seeing us make these changes which they have asked for. And I think that is the main point really to shout out here, is we are trusted as a HR team. And what more can you ask for when you're trying to deliver change?
At Insight 222, we've been since 2020 now in doing an annual research of people analytics across a number of organizations. And I think last year in 2023, it was 271 companies participated in the research. And he kind of explores the growth and value of people analytics in organizations. And in that report, we found that people analytics is increasingly adding value to business and senior leaders at board level as well. Have you found this to be the case with the work that you're doing? And if so, in what ways have you seen data enhance your influence as an HR function and gain buy-in with other business leaders and maybe even the CEO, Andy, that you mentioned as well earlier?
Yeah. What data does is it's a bit like a finance department. It takes the emotion out of it and it takes the what if out of it for me. So data drives your decision. There's still a personal element that you need to do as an overlay. However, it does take any of the why we're doing it out of the question. They're not asking the why. Why do we need to do an engagement survey? Why do we? I mean, we had great buy-in from our senior leaders anyway to begin with. But what it is doing is it's just showing the accurate and accurate reflection of the why we're spending that money, and then the measurement of how successful it is, because then you come back round it. What I'd say add on to Liv's point before is all of the things that we do will reflect one way or another, hopefully positively, one way or another in the initial data pack that we put together, which was in relation to absence, attrition, time to hire, etc. All of that, our performance will always be put back into it. But for me, data is it takes all of the emotion, because people are one of the most costly elements of any business, just not from a salary point of view, but a productivity point of view. And so therefore, all the data that comes out of that shows you where you're performing and where you're not performing as well. So for me, the buy-in comes, as I say, we have great support from our senior leaders and from a people aspect, but it just makes it clear. One thing it does do, though, is as soon as you express and you put some more data, clearly they want more. So, and they're asking for extra things. It's making sure that you can compete and keep up with that, I suppose, the request that we're getting for it. But I think it does, from every other department has to put data behind why they're doing it and success measures behind why they're doing it, and people teams should be no different.
Just off the back of what Louise was saying, as a business, we've got a really great example of how we've used people analytics to drive that influence. So about 18 months ago, we acquired another business, which meant that we'd obviously had two sets of values running side by side each day. We realised really quickly, especially as being all under the same roof, that we couldn't carry on with two sets of values. So over the past basically a year now, I spent a lot of time gathering qualitative data off employees through research sessions and things like that about what they wanted and what they wanted to live and breathe really daily as a business. We then also matched this with the quantitative data that we got from the engagement survey to establish that, one, we needed a reset and we needed it quick, and two, what this reset would look like for the business. We gathered all that data and put it into one pack and took it to agree with our executive team to decide, one, what the values would be, how it would shape the business and the culture, and how we can really embed it and live and breathe it really in every decision we make going forward. Obviously, the values reset was extremely important for our culture. Employees now feel that they are all striving from the same goals. And this also goes back to my point on how people analytics improve trust within Chetwood. They all are aiming for the same goal that starts from the top and it goes all the way down.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of the Digital HR Leaders podcast. If you are looking to continue your learning journey, head over to myhrfuture.com. and take a look at the My HR Future Academy. It is a learning experience platform supporting HR professionals to become more data-driven, more business-focused, and more experience-led. By taking our short assessment, you will see how you stack up against the HR skills of the future. Then, our recommended learning journeys guide you every step of the way, helping you to close your skills gap, deepen your knowledge, and press play on your career. I mean, one of the questions that we get a lot, and I get a lot when I'm speaking at conferences, is people analytics important in a smaller organization? And I don't know what you two would say, but I think it's arguably even more important, because actually, you know, if we've got 300 people, 0.33% of the firm is one person, you know. So whereas if it was in a bigger organization, that's not the case. I don't know if you talked to Louise with particularly maybe about how the impact that it's helped you have at the board level with the CEO by actually bringing data to the conversation.
I think it gives more credibility to the conversation that we're having, because you're right, smaller organisations, a lot of the time it's the emotional connection and they want to go with that, and they're moving at pace. So sometimes moving at pace can cause them, I'm not saying Chetwood's done this, but can cause them to make some, you know, errors in approach for why they've got to do, because everyone believes something, whereas the data backs that up. So it just makes it more real and credible. I think it measures our success, because data is one thing to inform a decision, but then the output of it to say whether it's been successful or not validates your decision or not, as the case may be. You can say, oh, actually, and it's okay to make mistakes as long as you know you've informed them, or you go, okay, we did that because of that, let's not make that mistake again. But for me, it's not just the initial data to inform the decision, it's the data afterwards that says whether that's been right or wrong, or actually it's taken you in a different direction because a business has done something different as well. So it's the follow-up from it that, for me, is arguably more important than the initial one as well. But from a smaller organisation, you know, as I say, I've worked in larger organisations, I believe in people analytics throughout, because I think it's a way of saying how well we're performing as not just as a business, as a team. And I just think, but in a smaller organisation, it can have more of an impact.
And actually, you said a really important point. Every other business function brings data to the conversation. Why shouldn't HR? And actually, now that you're doing that at Chetwood, I'd be interested, Louise, how do you believe that using analytics has changed that broader organisational perspective of the HR's function role and the value it provides at Chetwood?
Look, it's hard to say what they thought of it previously, because obviously Liv and I probably weren't here as well, but I would like to think that the fact that we've come in and we've got more credible data to justify why we've done things and what we've done means that our team is seen as delivering high quality change for the business on time, and then you're seeing the outputs. And also, it also shows that we are critical of ourselves about the projects that we do. So how well have they done, and what's the deliverable for it? How's it performed? The impact that a good people team can have on a business that is changing constantly, because it can stabilize some of those spikes that happen. Because when a business is in scale up and is changing, obviously attrition does go higher than you'd expect. So it's a cost to the business. If you can stabilize some of those people aspects and show it by data, then actually you're showing how much value you're adding to a growing and ever-changing business.
And I think one of the measures, I guess, of success is the fact that something you mentioned earlier, that the when you bring in data, the expectation level goes up as well. And it sounds from what you said that the expectation levels have gone up as well, which can be a blessing and a curse, obviously.
Yeah, but I like it because it's a challenge, I think, for our team, you know. There's a constant challenge, but to always do better, it's nice to have that as well. And it also makes you think, certainly when a finance person, because I think our finance person also challenges not just our people data, but tries to, you know, ask us questions about making that more financial, which is the right conversation to have. And they'll help us get there, really, basically. So I think it's good.
It's interesting you say that, Louise, because one of the things that we found in the research at Insight 222 last year in the People Analytics Trends study was that those HR or those people analytics functions that had a strong partnership with finance also tended to be those ones that were delivering a value on a consistent and sustainable basis. So our relationship with finance is so important, isn't it?
Yes, I would agree, because they do. I also think that it helps bring more credibility. Finance, you know, they're well established, they know the numbers, and it is all about cost. And certainly in a scale up, it's about profitability, how quickly you're going to get there, what you're going to do. And a finance team can help a people team do that well or not.
So Louise, maybe to share with some of your peers that are listening, but you know, for HR leaders that are seeking to gain buy-in from senior leadership on the value of people analytics, what advice would you offer based on your experience?
I think you need to start with the basics. Don't try and over-egg it. Start simple and small. Start with the basics that people will understand, which is, who have you got in your organisation? How much is your salary bill? How much are your benefits costing you? Look at your absence, because that costs you. Look at your turnover. Look at your length of service, of how many people, how long people are there with you, because then that's obviously a knock-on impact onto your cost of recruitment, etc. Look at those basics first, because there's no point in doing development, ultimately engagement, until you sort that out, and then follow on. You gain buy-in by showing the basics of what you can do, and you just need to start somewhere. And that data is really easy to get. Every HR system has that. So you don't need anything fancy. You know, I think CultureAmp is fabulous, but you don't need that to start. You just need to start somewhere and show it to somebody. And you're right. I would suggest that your first pack that you're doing, walk it through with your finance person, because what they'll do is they'll help you add the costs into it as well, which legitimizes your deck.
So Olivia, turning to you, I appreciate you're still in the infancy of using people analytics, although, you know, it sounds like you've made a lot of progress in a short period of time. But I'm curious to learn more about how you see the role of people analytics evolving at Chetwood. Are there maybe any future initiatives that you're excited about?
For me personally, people analytics obviously involved in this, but it's teaching line managers the importance of people analytics and how to really drive change in their area. So for example, our engagement survey, each line manager has a individual report based off their engagement score. At the moment, it's obviously a concern that managers don't understand this data. What does it actually mean? So for me personally, I am really excited and keen to get in there with our line managers and make them the drivers of change in their areas. We've mentioned before, change doesn't just come from the people team. It has to start with individual teams. It has to start with their managers. So that's something I'm really going to be focusing on over the next few months, is getting line managers to care and buy in as much as people analytics as we have.
Louise, is there anything you'd add to that?
We're going to do the final stage of our culture amp piece. So I'm really excited about Perform being launched in April as our start of our new financial and performance year. So I'm really excited about that. And as you say, we've done a lot over the last 12 months. So I think our focus needs to be in the next stage of ours is embedding it. Don't try and do anything new and fancy. Let's embed that. Let's make sure that the people analytics coming out of Develop, Engage and Perform link into the basic people data, people analytics that we've got, and we produce that next stage of the pack. But back to Liv's point, line managers owning those three elements of that is crucial to the next stage of our success as a people team, as a business, etc. So I think the next year will be about embedding those things that we've launched rather than trying to launch anything new. So I'm excited about seeing where we can get to in the next 12 months with what we've got now by coaching and getting managers engaged into it.
No, it's very exciting. It sounds like a very sensible strategy. And as you said, you know, help you scale the work that you've already done. This is, you know, getting those line managers heavily involved is going to be really important. So I can't believe we're actually onto the last question now. You know, they've got flown by, the time's flown by. This is the question that we're asking everyone in this series. And I think it probably touches a little bit on some of the work that you've just been talking about, both of you. You know, what are your top three ways that HR can play a pivotal role in creating a thriving organizational culture? And I think, Louise, you're going to take that one up.
I am. I think, well, clearly we're talking about people analytics and I'm quite passionate about that. So I'm going to say making sure people analytics is not just for the board. It's great going up but coming back down. So a bit like what Liv said, managers owning their own data that they've got in analytics and driving forward in their own specific areas. So I think people analytics is a real key to us. The next one would be line managers. I think line managers and for once for a bit different phrase, sort of like the middle chunk, I think are crucial to any organizational culture because they're managing people. So they're creating their own culture and their own teams, but they've also, they're being managed or being led by more senior people. So that they're like the sandwich and it's a really difficult role to do. And I think helping managers understand the role they play, informing them of what they can and they can't do, I suppose, giving them the tools to be able to do it, empowering them to be able to lead their team as opposed to just managing them in the realms. But I think they fundamentally can make or break a culture. So I think that's really key. And finally, I think HR, more probably a senior level, is making sure that people have clarity of expectations for them in the role, them in the business, making sure the business are giving clarity to people, saying that this is the plan, this is the vision, this is the mission, this is what we're going through. And I think HR can play a really key role in making sure that everybody has clarity about the part that they play in it. And that fundamentally impacts culture.
Really, really good. Love that. Love those ones, Louise. I think some really good practical guidance, I think, for other HR leaders listening to this episode as well. So we've come to the end of our discussion. Olivia, Louise, thanks so much for joining today. Can you let listeners know how they can follow you and learn more about the work you're doing at Chetwood? And maybe, Olivia, if you've got any advice for people looking to get tickets to the Razor Ball Scram, maybe you can add that in as well.
So we're both on LinkedIn, just our names, Louise Miller and Olivia Edwards. You'll also find Chetwood on there. Our personal pages are a lot about the culture within Chetwood and what we're doing to strike change. And then our banking page is obviously a little bit more about our products, but there is loads of information on there to go have a look at.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story so far with listeners of the Digital HR Leaders podcast. I'll be interesting to see how that story develops. Louise, Olivia, thank you so much for being guests on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this week. A huge thank you to Louise Miller and Olivia Edwards for joining us today and sharing their powerful story on leveraging people analytics at Chetwood. If you did enjoy this episode, be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a 5-star rating on your favourite podcasting platform so that we can keep producing the show. For more from us at Insight222, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at insight222.com, and you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter by going to myhrfuture.com. That's all for this series of the Digital HR Leaders podcast. Thank you once again to CultureAmp for sponsoring this series. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next series of the Digital HR Leaders podcast, which kicks off with a very special episode featuring Nicole Lamoureux, the Chief Human Resources Officer at IBM. Until then, take care and stay well.